John chapter number 21 tonight. John chapter 21. And tonight, we're going to be talking about love. No, nothing this morning prompted me to to preach about that tonight, but we're praying about it. And if you don't know the answer to that, then, you know, don't catch the joke and talk to Caleb about it later. But anyway, there are many ways of defining love. There are so many differing ways that love is expressed, and many different ways that people describe love, and there's differing types of love. There is a type that God desires for us to have towards Him, and there's a type that God expresses to us. So the question tonight is, we're looking at the desire of our hearts, what type of love are you expressing to God tonight? There are different types, and we're going to look at John chapter 21 and look at verses 12 through 19 tonight in a very famous passage, a very well-known passage. And the context of this passage is, this is after Jesus had risen from the dead. He had appeared to His disciples three times at this point. And now in the first part of chapter number 21, we see that Peter said, "I go a-fishing," and the other disciples, "We'll go with you." So they went out fishing. They went out fishing, and they tried all night long casting out their nets, and they did not catch anything. And when Jesus appeared on the shore, He asked them, "Children, have ye any meat?" And they answered Him, "No." In verse number 6, He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." And they cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So then Peter realizes it's the Lord, and he dives in and he swims to the shore to see Jesus. And what we're about to read is what follows. A very important passage, a very instructive passage for us. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 21. John chapter 21, beginning in verse number 12, down through verse number 19. Jesus saith unto them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples durst ask Him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus shewed Himself to His disciples after that He was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me more than these?" He saith unto Him, "Yea, Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee." He saith unto Him, "Feed My lambs." He saith them again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me?" He saith unto Him, "Yea, Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee." He saith unto Him, "Feed My sheep." He saith unto Him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me?" Peter was grieved because He said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou Me?" And he said unto Him, "Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed My sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake He, signifying by what death He would glorify God. And when He had spoken this, He saith unto him, "Follow Me." Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Dear Father, I pray that You will bless this message as we see the second time that You call Peter to Your service. I pray, dear Lord, that You will bless us, and dear Lord, that we would examine our hearts to see what type of love resides in our heart for You. And I pray, Lord, that it be the one that You command us to have. And I pray that tonight we'd be instructed, that we would see things perhaps we had never seen before, that Your Word would be open and alive to us, dear Lord, and that we would see it, and that we would live by it. I pray that You bless us tonight and bless Your Word. Give me the words to say tonight and hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And a message entitled, "The Desire of Our Hearts." So first we're going to look at, in order to define love properly, we need to look at the love that God gives us. If you're taking notes tonight, number one, we're going to look at the love that God gives. The love that God gives. We must understand that in the English language, we many times have one word to express something. We can express different types of love, that I love my dog. Okay, or that I love my wife. You know, we know that we don't love our animals as much as we love our wife or our husband. that we wonder about some people sometimes, but we know that there is a differing type of love there, that there is a difference between loving your dog and loving your husband and loving your child. Though it's the same word, there is different meanings and different expressions of it in the same way, but we do that by giving context to what is being loved on or what kind of relationship it signifies. And the Greek language is nothing different. However, in the Greek, there can be several different words that mean generally the same thing, but have differing shades of application and expression. And that's exactly what we find in the Word of God, in that we see the word love, but there are three different Greek words to express love. And the word love in the Greek is no exception to this. So we know, I've all heard of this, that of agape love. This is the love of God towards man. Love without restriction or conditions. You also call it unconditional love. And this is the type of love that God has for us. Then we know there's phileo love, which is brotherly love. Friendship. The definition is fondness, or that you like someone or something. It's not just relation to persons, but also things. And then there is eros, which is romantic love, which is a love a husband and a wife have. But we're going to be focusing on agape and phileo tonight. And these three represent different aspects of the same general thought, but difference in relationship, a difference in intensity, and difference in the conditions of them. But in order to understand how we are to love God, we must first look at how God loves us. Let's look at John chapter 13 and verse number 1. We're going to look at some well-known passages that we are familiar with regarding God's love for us. The first aspect that we see of God's love for us is that it is unchangeable. It is unchangeable. John 13, verse number 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having, now I want you to pay attention to this, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, agape in the Greek, that is the noun for the word love. Now, the word love, this is an action verb. You know, we get our English grammar thinking caps on. You know, there's linking verbs and there's action verbs. Love can be a noun, but this expression is the verb form. And so in the Greek, it is agapeo, okay? Or, Brother Larson, am I saying that right? Okay, I'm saying it right. Okay, good. Brother Larson took Greek, you know, and everything, so I didn't. But I took the Power Bible CD. So right there. So it has a little expression there. So agapeo, and that's the verb form of love, of agape love. And so which means the action of loving. So here, the root of agapeo, you ready for this, Brother Larson? Here we go, is the word agon, which means much. So literally, agapeo literally means much love or to love much. And this is the love that God has for us. It says, he loved his own which were in the world. Talking about his disciples, those that believed on him, that he loved them, and he loved them unto the end. What is the end? The end is the crucifixion, his death. He loved them up to the very end. That's where we get the idea that we were on the Savior's mind when he was on that cross and that he loved us unto the end. This love is unchangeable. Death did not change it. Christ's death on the cross did not change it. And because he loved us in this way, that is why he went to the cross, because God so loved the world. If you looked at love in John 3:16, it's the same word, agapeo. If you look every time the word loved or that form of it is used, in God's love for mankind, you see the word agapeo, agape love. Now let's look at John chapter 15 over a couple of pages, John 15 and verse number 9. John 15 and verse number 9. We're broadening our horizons tonight in education. So we're looking at these words and look at these different aspects here. So we look at John 15 verse 9. This is the source for agape love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So right here we see the Father hath loved me. That's agapeo. And then we see, so have I loved you. So Jesus says, because my Father hath loved me with agape love, I love you with agape love. Not phileo, not friendship love, not a fondness, but an unconditional, without restriction love. That's very important for us to understand. That's very important for us to see. Continue ye in my love, agape love. Continue ye in my love. This is a great example to us. Jesus' life is the ultimate example, in that Christ has loved us with agape love, so that we should love others with the same agape, unconditional love. But let's look over a couple of verses, John 15, 13, a verse we know very, very well. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love. What do you think what word this is? Agapeo. Agape. Sacrificial. So each time we're reading these verses, we are seeing that agape love has some attributes, that is unchangeable, that is divine. It comes from God. And third, that it is sacrificial. The word love here is agape. There is no greater expression of love than to die for someone else. But you look at the very end, phileo, you can have that type of love, but also phileo is translated friend. So at the very end, it says, friends. Lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Someone that has given more love, giving your life for someone that maybe has a fondness, a phileo type of love towards you, but that you are willing to give it all for them. That's the type of love. And you know, when we think of that, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In that he had that agape love for us, even when we weren't loving him at all. Or maybe we had a fondness for God. We had a knowledge and we had a fondness for Jesus, but we had never trusted him. Christ died for us and gave of himself that agape love. Simply, you are willing to give more love than you have received. Now, this is a huge shift in our thinking. This is not how the world thinks. The world will only give out what it has received. First, it needs to receive, then give. It's a give and take. It is a business transaction. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But if we are Christians, first of all, need to be saved, know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot express this type of love. Only through the Holy Spirit of God can we. Second, we need to be walking in the Spirit and submitted to God, fully loving God with this agape and unconditional love, then we're able to give it out to others. And we're going to see this in just a moment. Also, and this is another aspect, not only is it sacrificial, but that also it is inseparable. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. Another passage that we know very, very well. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love, agape, of Christ? Who shall separate us? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, agapeo. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love, agape, of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Aren't you glad of that? That we, there's no way for us to be separated from that, that no matter death or principalities, no matter what this world can throw at us, or what the devil tries to throw at us, nothing is going to separate us from that type of love. From the love of God. I don't know about you, I'm glad of that. I'm glad no matter how far I've gone, no matter what I've done, God is going to love me. Not saying there's going to be not quite consequences, but ultimately at the end of the day, that love, that agape love, is still going to be there. Why? Because it does not have conditions. It is sacrificial, unconditional love. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. Not one thing. Now I want you to think for a moment. Nothing. I remember what David said, you know, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I go to the depths of where? Hell, thou art there. Do you know that God still loves those people that are in hell? Because nothing is it. Amen. We just said nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. This isn't just love for saved people. This is love for all his creation. For all those he died for. And he died for everyone. Amen. He didn't die just for the people that are going to get saved. But he loves them even though they are in judgment. He still loves them. That's how great the Father's love is, how deep it is, and how unconditional it is. Sometimes you're human thinking, well, they're in hell, God must forget about them, and they just toss to the side. No, remember, God is not like us. Praise God for that. Amen. Praise the Lord that he is not like us. He does not think like we do and does not act like we do. Praise the Lord that we can have an almighty, all-righteous God. These verses help us to understand the type of love God gives to us. So now this is also the type of love. Let's look at Mark chapter 12. This is also the type of love that God expects back in return from his creations. Look at Mark chapter 12 and verse number 30. This is the love that we're to give back to God. This is the love that only we can express once receiving it and being transformed by it through salvation. In Mark chapter number 12 and verse number 20 and 21. Mark chapter 12 verses 20 and 21 says this. Now there were seven brethren. Wait a minute. 30. Sorry, I'm in 20. 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Now love is agape or agapeo. Thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. There's a companion Hebrew word given in Deuteronomy 6, but here in the Greek, in the New Testament, it is the same word, agape, agapeo. That is the love that we're to love God in return. A love without conditions. A love that is sacrificial. A love that is a mirror image of the love that God has for us. We're to love him in return. But not only that, because we are loving God in that way, because we are surrendered to God, because we are loving him in this way and our love has grown, that, and the second is like unto it, verse 31, namely this, thou shalt love. Phileo. No, it doesn't say that. It's akapeo. Thy who? Thy neighbor as thyself. Not to love them with the world's love, the fondness that human beings have. Phileo is a human love. That's not God's love. But human fondness, we like somebody, so therefore we express that kind of no. That our neighbor, and we see that with the Good Samaritan, that he expressed agape love to the man who was his enemy. And that's when he says, love your enemies. It's agapeo all the way through. You look it up. And it's Strong's reference number 25. If you want to look it up, and you want to look it up in different places, in that your Strong's concordance, where it is used. And it's interesting, we're going to get into how phileo is used. That's going to be very interesting. We're going to get that in a minute. This is what happens when you study your Bible. You know, as a pastor, we're going to be here all night. I'm moving along. I'm almost at the end of point number one. I've only got 2 points. You know, pastor, what happened this morning? No, we're going to be done on time, I promise. I'm working on it. But these verses help us to understand what God's love is for us. And these verses help us to see this is the command. This is the expectation. You know, the Bible is the best commentary on itself. We used verses to define this type of love. Not my definition, it's God's definition. What actions are associated with it? We're to love God with agape love and love our neighbor with unconditional sacrificial love. And everyone's our neighbor. So who's my neighbor? Everybody. Saved or lost, it doesn't matter. If they live on planet Earth, they are our neighbor. Number two. The love man gives. Now, man loves as well, but it's different than God's love. It is not unconditional. It is circumstantial. This is the meaning of phileo, which simply means being fond of or liking someone or something. Phileo. Now, agape is only used in reference to people. Phileo can be in reference to things or people. And we see that. If you look up the word phileo in the Bible, it's used to express love for clothes, friends, notoriety, your human relations, you know, husband, wife, children. This is the type of the world, love the world has. Actually, in this love, when Jesus was expressing about the Pharisees that they loved the upper rooms, that's phileo love. Or they love to be heard for their much speaking, that's phileo love. And that they love, it is can be good, but also can be bad. You know, we should be friendly to people because it's kind of a broad term. It can mean friend, friendly, or love, and that with brotherly love. You know, Philadelphia, that's where it gets the name from. It's in the Greek. Phileo, Philadelphia, that's where it comes from. Brotherly love. There's not a whole lot of brotherly love in that city. Ever been there? Interesting how that works, isn't it? This is the source of the test that Jesus expresses to Peter. Now, we've kind of done a little bit of introduction. Now, we're going to get to the message. Turn to John 21. John 21. Now that we know there's two types of love, the agape and the phileo, that helps us to understand what Jesus is asking to Peter and how Peter is responding. And so we're going to break down the questions that Jesus asked him. The source of this test simply can be put to this: do you love me as I have commanded? Do you love me as I have commanded? He was there when Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." He heard him speak it in Greek or Aramaic, whichever one it was. He heard, he knew the word, he knew exactly what was expected. Unconditional sacrificial love. And so Jesus is asking him a question: do you love me? But not only that, beginning in verse number 15, let's read. Oh, in John chapter 20, John 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Now, what he was speaking of is rather broad. These, he's speaking of the other disciples that were there. But also, these can be a reference to things, other things in his life. It could be very broad. It could even be the nets that were sitting there that he was just fishing, and the boat that he owned, and the other people. Do you love me more than all these, than you love these other things? And the love here, which word do you think it is? It has agape love. Akapeo, do you love me more than these? And then Peter's response, you know, Peter was super Christian, right? Peter was super Christian. He's going to respond the right way. He's going to say it the right way. And he's going to do this. And then Peter says, he saith in him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." There's a problem. He didn't use agape love. He used the word phileo. I'm fond of you, Lord. I'm friendly towards you. I am giving you the love that I know how to give in my human strength. Now, let's pause for a moment. Turn back, if you need to turn back a page. Look at the beginning here in verse number 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go a fishing." And they said unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. This is a picture of human leadership. Human will, human leadership, man doing his own thing. Did they have any results? None. But as soon as they followed the Lord's direction, they had, there was an illustration of God's blessing. It was not, what he's saying, it was not God's will for him to be out in that boat. It was not God's will for him to be going out. That's not what God told him to do. Jesus had told them what he was supposed to do, that he was to wait for the Holy Spirit to come, and then they were going to be witnesses. He knew what he was supposed to do. But he decided to go fishing. He decided to go do what he thought he needed to do. And so now the question is asked to Peter, "Do you love me with an unconditional love, Peter?" Well, why is Jesus asking that? This is called Peter's rededication to the ministry. He had been dedicated to Christ, but remember, he had denied Christ 3 times and swore he never knew the man and denied that he even knew who Jesus was. So now he has fallen from the ministry. He has fallen into sin and he has turned his back, if you will. Some people view that as just turning his back on the ministry of God. Now Jesus is calling him back. This is the rededication of Peter to the ministry. And we look at that and we see, especially at the end of verse number 19, when he said, follow me. That's how he called Peter to begin with. Follow me. Follow me. So here he is asking Peter, do you love me with the type of love that I command? And Peter is saying, no, Lord, I don't. I love you. I'm fond of you. I'm friendly towards you. And I love you the way I know how to. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Feed the ones that, the young Christians, the children and the young ones, feed them, take care of them. Because he knew that he was the rock upon which the church was going to be built. Verse 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Which type of love is this? Agape again. Do you love me with an unconditional, sacrificial love? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You know why he's saying thou knowest? Because he's not lying. He could say, oh yes, Lord, I love you. You know, he could do what a lot of Christians do. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you with unconditional love. You dedicate your life at the altar. Oh, Lord, I love you. Then when God says to go do something, they say, wait a minute. Whoa. I love you, but not that much. I love you, but way back, whoa, let's back up a little bit. You know what? I was thinking something different. I had something different in mind. Excuse me, is that a condition? You're putting a condition on the love? That's not agape love then. Agape love has the idea of complete and total surrender to God. God, I love you with all that I am, with all that I have. I'm loving you unconditionally, sacrificially. It doesn't matter where I go, what I do, what happens to me. I just love you, Lord, and I want to do what you want me to do. That's what agape love is. And Jesus is asking Peter, do you have that kind of love for me? And Peter's saying, Lord, you know that I don't. You know I don't. You knowest all things. But then, well, is it left there? No. Verse number 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, which word do you think this is? It's not agape. It's phileo. Says, Peter, do you love me as a friend? Now, this is a very interesting wording here. Most people, if you look at it on the surface, not seeing these word meanings, you think that Peter was grieved. So Peter was grieved that he asked unto him. So what he is saying, that some people take this to mean that he was upset that Jesus had asked a third time. No, let's read the wording here. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Lovest is phileo. So the third time Jesus asked, he didn't ask the agape, but he asked the phileo love. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Phileo. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. So Jesus is giving him an opportunity. Is this the love that God commands us to have? No. This is not the love that God commands. God commands agape love. For thou shalt love the Lord thy God with agape love. But Peter's saying, Jesus, I'm not there. Lord, I'm not there. I don't love you with the agape love that I'm supposed to, but I love you with this. Now, if you look at it, because Peter was having to face reality that his love for Jesus did not measure up to what God had commanded, and this is why Peter denied Christ, because he did not love in agapeo. He didn't love Christ with that agape love as he should. Because didn't he say, he talked big. He said, oh Lord, if you were to go crucified, I'd go with you to the cross. I'll suffer and bleed and die for you. But what came out wasn't true. That wasn't true. He thought he had agape love, but we find out he didn't fully understand it. And that he had a fondness for Christ. And I will venture to say this, there's a lot of Christians that have a fondness for Christ. They have a fondness for God. They have a love for God, but there's no dedication, there's no sacrifice, and as soon as God asks too much, they're gone. That's what phileo love is. Not agape love, but all Christians are to have agape love for God. But now, most people don't think verse 18 is connected. It is. After you look at what he's talking about the agape love, the unconditional love. So Jesus tells him something. Verily, verily, I mean truly, truly, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. St. Peter, the type of love you have isn't going to cut it. You're going to suffer for me. You're going to be persecuted for me. That's why I was asking you, Peter, if you loved me with an unconditional love. You said you don't, but this is what's going to happen to you. But then Jesus gives him the solution. Look at 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19. Another verse we know very well. 1 John 4:19 tonight. We love him because he first loved us. We love him. That's agapeo. Because he first agapeoed us. That agape love. We love God with an agape love because he first loved us. Now let's go back to John 21 and verse number 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, here's the solution. He saith unto him, follow me. This is how you're going to have the love you need to have, Peter. Follow me, because God the Father hath loved me with agape love. I have shown it to you, and then you'll know how to love me the right way. Amen. By following Christ, we learn how to love in the sacrificial, unconditional way that we're supposed to. But most Christians, this is what happens. They hear a message like this, and they say, my love for God isn't where it needs to be. I quit. I guess I can't serve God. I guess I won't make it. That's not what Jesus said. He just said, follow me. And you know what Peter did? He did. And somewhere along the way, after he started following day by day, he started obeying God, he began to love his Heavenly Father and his Lord Jesus Christ with that agape love. And Peter eventually died a martyr's death, crucified upside down, because he did not want to be crucified like his Savior. He was crucified head down. He was beaten, he was put in a cage and in a dungeon. This is by tradition, we don't have scripture for this, but through tradition, I believe Josephus recorded this, of what happened to him. He came to a place where he said, Lord, I'm going to love you with an unconditional love, no matter what you want me to do, what happens to me, it doesn't matter. This is the love that turned the world upside down. This is the love. You know, all the disciples had this love. If you look through the book of Acts, do you know what? Out of all 12 disciples, only one died a natural death. Paul was martyred. Thomas. Matthias. Thaddeus. All the others. The only one who died a natural death was John, who is the author of this book, was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he loved God in return with what kind of love do you think? Agape love. In that he died in exile on the island of Patmos. And we see that he was the author, the conduit that God chose for the revelation at the end of the Bible, the last book of the Bible, the end of all things. Stephen, he was martyred, he was stoned. But what kind of love did he have? He obeyed both commands. He had the agape love for God, but also he had agape love for his neighbor when he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. You know what? When we begin to see the agape love that people have for the Lord, when you read accounts of missionaries, you read accounts of godly men that have served God with agape love, giving their life, I'm telling you, it does something to you. It does something to your heart, and then you think about it, am I willing to do that? If your answer is no, you don't have agape love for God. But we leave it there. But we can, if we learn from Jesus how to love in that way.
And what so many do is they short-circuit this. They say, well, my love isn't where it needs to be. I guess I'm not going to get there. I'm just going to leave off following God for right now. I'm just going to stay where I'm at. But we see that follow me is the key. Follow me. Follow what I have taught you. Follow what I have showed you. Follow Christ's example. If you want to learn how to love God in the right kind of way, look how Jesus loved his heavenly Father. The ultimate example. My dear friends, it's not enough to love Jesus as a friend or someone we're fond of. You know, there are times that when a friend does something that offends us, that we're no longer their friend. I don't need that. I don't need you in my life because of this or that. I don't need this or that. That's a condition. And Christians do this all the time. They come across something in God's Word that offends them. They're offended in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're offended in his word, and they say, well, you know what? I'm going to go on this way, and Jesus, Lord, you can go out this way, and I'm not going to follow this direction because, you know, I'm not fond of you anymore. I'm not fond of your word. And as we see people walk out of church because they lose their fondness, they don't have the agape love, they lose their fondness for the Lord because they're offended. And is God ever wrong? No. Did God ever stop loving him? No. Did God ever stop reaching out to them? No. So in conclusion tonight, let me ask you a question. What is the desire of your heart? Is the desire of your heart said, I want to love God with that agape love. Unconditional, sacrificial, nothing held back. I don't have much. Lord, I'm going to love you with all that I have. You know, when we start down that path, our love for God is going to grow. We're going to grow just like our faith grows. Our love for God grows, and we love him more and more day by day, and we sing songs of love for God. But what kind of love do you have for God? Do you have a fondness, or is your love unconditional? What kind of love do you desire to have for God? You know, are you Peter? That he admitted he was honest with God. He knew he couldn't lie to Jesus. He had before. Even though it wasn't his heart, he said, Lord, I'll never deny. He rebuked Jesus and said, no, you don't know what's in my heart, when Jesus really did. He was honest. He knew he had to be honest with Jesus. And he said, you know, I don't have the love that I need to have. I don't have the love. I'm not there yet. And Jesus said, okay, you're going to need it to be in the right. You're going to need that love if you're going to serve me, because you'll never make it through what I have planned for you without it. But follow me, learn of me, and you'll know how. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? That the Lord shows us how we can get from where we ought not be to where we need to be. What's your desires? Well, I desire to have agape love. Then begin tonight. Confess that you don't have the right kind of love for God. You don't have the right kind of love for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you have a friendship, you have a fondness, but that you desire that unconditional love. So I want to give that to you, Lord. And that is the type of love that God blesses. That is the type of love that God can use and use a life. This is the type of love that gets someone into the will of God and keeps them there. This is the love. This is the key to it all. It was the key to Peter's life. Then, what is the very... This is the last... These are the last verses in the book of John. But then we see in the very next book, the Acts of the Apostles. We see somewhere in there, Peter got it. Peter got it. And he loved God with that unconditional love. Right off the bat, he ends up in jail. Right after that, he gets beaten. Then he gets let out of jail again. I mean, Peter didn't have it easy either. We always look at Paul. Peter didn't have it easy either. None of them did. But it didn't matter. What did Paul say? Love constrains us to preach to God. Our love for other people and our love for Christ, we need to obey what he commanded us to do. It doesn't matter what other people say. We have to obey our Savior because we love him. And if we love our neighbor with that kind of love, we're going to want to witness to them. We're going to want to show them because we have that love of God in our heart. We're going to want to show it. We're going to want to show it, right, Brother Larson? We're going to want to show it. You know, sometimes we get it backwards. We try to get people to go out and witness, but really what they need to do is they need to get their love life right with the Lord and get their heart right and get their love where it needs to be. Then the rest of it comes. You're going to want to. You're going to see in the Word of God that we are the would-be witnesses throughout the world to preach the gospel to every creature. I said, Lord, that's me. I need to go teach someone. I need to go reach someone. I need to go get a track because I need to figure out how to witness because, Lord, that's what you command us to do. And I love you so much. And I love my neighbor. I don't want him to go to hell. I want him to know this love like I know and I've experienced. I want to share it with somebody else. Man, that's going to get rid of fear. Perfect what? Guess what kind of love that is? Agape love. Casts out fear. It's the key. It's the key. What's the desire of your heart tonight? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for opening your word. You have enlightened our eyes and touched our hearts. And Lord, a decision must be made. Lord, if our love has not been where it needs to be, that we would be quick to confess it like Peter did. He knew he couldn't hide it. He knew he couldn't change it himself. He was honest with you. And Lord, you were honest with him. You showed him that he would not be able to endure what you had in store with that kind of love, but that you could give it to him through following you. I pray tonight that we would be faithful, that, Lord, if that love is not there, that unconditional love, I pray that we would seek for it tonight, that we would confess our lack of love for you, that we would confess our lack of love. If we're lacking in that area, dear Lord, then we're not loving our neighbor as we ought to either. If we are leaving off from loving our neighbor and loving you with that unconditional sacrificial love, the love that you give to us, oh Lord, we know we love you because you first loved us. You open the door. You transform our hearts and our life through salvation. But Lord, help us to be what we need to be. And Lord, if we're not there, that we would confess it, that we would get it right, and that we would simply start walking and start following and start doing. And Lord, you show us how we are to love. I pray that you'd guide us tonight. I pray that we would respond to you tonight and that we would make decisions for you as your people. Lord, it's not so that we can say how many people came down to the altar. It's about being right with you. It's about taking the next step with you, dear Lord. And I pray that if any have not done that tonight, that they would do it this very moment and turn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.